QSC, QST, this is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours, local time, on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. More information for and of the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club can be obtained from www.bbarc.org. That's www.bbarc.org. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote, I'll get it all out there, technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio. A gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q.
KF6Q, K6GVL.
Yes, Ron, go ahead.
I saw Jim this morning. He looks tired. His chemo is finished. The cancer treatment seemed to be working. He's suffering from a pre-existing condition that's just giving him fits right now, and he's in quite a bit of pain. And he was on some medication and looked like he wanted to go to sleep and have a good nap.
Okay, well, hopefully he'll recover, and appreciate that information. So, anyway, any other announcements? All right, anyway, a couple of announcements here. First off, let's do one for this Saturday coming up. The Big Bear Amateur Radio Club will be allowing the San Bernardino County ECS to use the repeater, and there will be no 9 o'clock net here for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. And another announcement. Also, with Echolink, which is run, you know, through here, a lot of people don't realize that wherever they are connecting into Echolink does not come here to our repeater first. It goes through first their internet provider, and if that's a smartphone or a mobile or whatever it is, then it goes from there to the Echolink servers, and it'll end up over here. So any of those connections that break down or time out, you're going to have some issues there. But if you're trying to connect to somebody's trying to connect to our Echolink, quite often it is not us. It's the other links in between here. Anyway, topic for the evening will be from the June QST, page 34. 35, 36, it's field day on the highest frontier. Talk about using the satellites to get some bonus points. And of course, we'll talk just a little bit about, you know, how you do the satellite communications. Pretty good stuff here, article by Steve Ford, another great author here, WB8IMY. Anyway, first, let's do a roster here, starting with WB6CLZ Mike.
Evening, Tom and the Tech Tuesday Net. This is WB6CLZ in Eastern Big Bear.
Mike, I did see you connect. Was it easier or were there different issues this time?
Okay, just like always, and I like the new data on there. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's been on there for some time. I don't know. Anyway, who knows? All right, well, let's move ahead with WB6CIN Sydney.
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
And good evening there, Cindy. Glad to have you out there. How about KA6CIA George? And another heard there from George. Let's move on down to KJ6HTS Mike. And that's from Mike. We haven't heard from him in a while. How about WA6ITC, Rod?
Yeah, from Mike Williams, WA6ITC.
And good evening there, Rod. Glad to have you out there this evening. Next I have KJ6FIL Mike in Redlands.
Howdy, howdy, KJ6FIL.
And good afternoon and evening there, Mike. Glad to have you out there. Moving on down here. Don't know if he's out there. He had to do a conference call. We'll see if he's there. KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary.
KJ6KDK is here.
Thank you. He was trying to sneak in there underneath you, Rosemary, so we'll not sure. We got a little bit of him there at the tail end there. Anyway, good deal. Let's move on down the list here and see if we have W6GZI. Frank, are you out there this evening?
Good evening. This is W6GZI.
And good evening there, Frank. Always a pleasure to have you out there listening in. Next I have KI6IQA Kelly.
Good afternoon, good evening, or good morning, whichever applies. KI6IQA.
Thanks for being out there, Kelly. All relative to time zone. It's probably all of them or all or none of the above. One more time there from K6GVL, Ron.
Good evening, Tom and Les. This is Ron, K6GVL from Torrance.
Hey, Ron, good signal coming in here from Torrance. Oh, I think I missed somebody here in the fold here. K9AOG. Steven, are you out there? And I heard from Steven, how about AD6PL Harold Riverside?
AD6PL.
And glad to have you out there, Harold, as always. And K6LCS did jump in there earlier, had a couple comments basically about the satellite's field days, so we're going to go ahead and put his information out there. That, a lot of stuff there from AMSAT about field day and working the satellite. So just a little addition there. Anyway, moving on down to the next one on my list here is KJ6PYB Dave. Wow, no Dave this evening. Okay, how about W6JLM Judith and W6KMM Kent?
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is W6.
All right, Ken, got you in there, and we'll check in Judith also. Let's see here. Next, I have K2BBL Allen and Moonridge. Nothing out there from Allen. How about K6YNW Chris?
Good evening, K6YNW.
And good evening there, Chris. Good signal into the repeater. Let's see if we can get W6POO Chip out there. And nothing out there from Chip, and this is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday and the group, every Tuesday that we can. Next I have on my list is KD6LEN Bill.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm alive. And well, and kicking. KD6LEN.
Okay, Bill, glad to have you out there. We're going to call you the dirt collector today. Anyway, let's move on down here to Ron, WA6HF. Is he out there? Okay, nothing out there from Ron. And let's see, how about KJ6QYN Shelley? Nothing out there from Shelley. How about NQ7RD Rick? Alright, nothing out there from Rick. Let's move on to the other page here. How about AE6CK Victor?
evening, Tom and Bennett, Victor Santa Fe speaks.
Good evening there, Victor, and by the way, received the 1,450 feet of tie-down cord for field day. I got it today. Ooh, that's a lot, that's cool. Alright, thanks for being out there. How about KA6ROD, Rod?
Good evening, everyone, KA6ROD.
And good evening there, Rod. Glad to have you out there. Let's see, next I have KB6LTY, Christy. Okay, nothing out there from Christy. How about W6JET, Rob?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. W6JET.
Well, good evening there, Rob. Thanks for checking in with us. Appreciate that. And let's see if we can get him. Not sure if he's home yet. He's always mobile. How about KJ6RAY, Ray?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. KJ6RAY Mobile.
Thanks for checking in, Ray. Well, we have you in there solid, so thanks for being out there. And let's see if we have WA6MQF. Bob, are you out there from Downey? Forgot to give him a reminder call. Oh well, maybe he'll join us. Alright, well that is pretty much everybody I have on the list. Checks in on a regular basis. Anybody else out there like to check in as a I'll get it out there as a guest. Please come back to KF6Q. Alright, well Mike, I think that is it. Pretty cool article here. June QST. Page 34. Steve Ford writes a lot of articles, good articles for QST. And of course, field day coming up here pretty hard and fast on us. And satellites, ham satellites, little guys up there in the sky. Yes, if you make a contact through them, you can count one. I think there are 100 points. But Mike, we've talked about that just recently about some of the deep space network stuff. Well, I guess one thing is that these birds aren't quite that high. What are we looking at here? We're working with low Earth orbits. I got to get able to say it first. And anybody that's heard somebody talking about LEOs, low Earth orbits, that's the birds. That's what we call them as birds. And they're up hundreds of miles rather than millions and hundreds of millions of miles out in space. So they're relatively low and relatively easy to reach with simpler gear. You don't have to, like Tom mentioned, you don't have to have a big dish like we were talking about several weeks ago on the deep space network type things. Just simple antennas. Anybody that has their QST in front of them, kind of, you can see the picture of Mark Spencer, WA8SME, with his Arrow antenna there in the parking lot of W1AW. Very simple antenna. I've gotten four or five tripods at yard sales to set up my HF antennas with. So everything's available and relatively inexpensive. I'm not sure, Tom, and maybe you can enlighten me on this, is if Oscar 50 is still in service, or is that the one that was failing? Not really sure, but very simple equipment with that standard FM equipment, and as long as you can program it, you can work them. Back to you, Tom. Yeah, well, Mike, actually, Oscar 50 is the only one that is really still up and running out there for the FM birds, and you know, we've lost a couple over the last couple of years, AO51, AO27, and a lot of fun to work those, but they just finally just went away. And as Quint said, if we get somebody with a whole lot of lotto winnings from AMSAT, maybe we'll get some more satellites up there. But right now, the funding seems to be a big issue there. Of course, it costs a lot of money to put them up there. So anyway, another thing here too, hundreds of miles, basically, and this is a shot from the hip, they run about an average of 500 miles up. If they're straight overhead, of course, if they're off at an angle, they're 500 miles up from wherever they're at. So when they pass over us, they may be not directly over us. So sometimes that multiplies out a little bit. But other than there, they have FM repeaters. and they have quite a few other things too. They'll have, a lot of them will have, you know, different other telemetry things coming down, so a lot of really cool stuff. Well, you know what, looking on here to what we need to work these birds. Now, Mike, some really basic stuff, but field day is a little bit different, so let's dig in here what we're going to use to work these birds.
Now, on a normal day, a 5-watt handheld is adequate, and, you know, with basic antennas. I've heard of people working them with their mobile antennas. As a matter of fact, that's what he says here. He has a dual-band mobile rig. But they're saying with field day, as everyone knows on FM, like Oscar 50, power rules. So they're saying that the best thing to do is get a decent antenna, and preferably a Yagi, and preferably the Aero antenna. We spoke about those, I think, on the 14th of May. I was absent from Tech Tuesday, and that's when you guys discussed the Aero antenna. And Tom, I know you have one of those. You used that to work one of the birds a couple years ago on field day. But anyway, if you're working the FM repeater type birds, power is what you need, and an FM transceiver of 50 watts or more would be the good choice. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday and the group. One of the things too, like I said, we did try that, or I did work them. I think you helped log for me between you and Ray, and we did get a contact on field day a few years back. Kind of lucky, stuck in there with 5 watts. Of course, these are Yagis, so they do have some gain, but so does the guy with the Yagi with the 25 or 50 watt power. Okay, so we did get through there. And it is, the Aero antenna is very cool. It's ready to go. All you gotta just make sure that I think it has old BNC connectors, so you gotta get an adapter to go to your radio, whatever that would be, whatever connector it has. And once you have that, you're ready to go. As I see here, he's got a tripod depth cheating. Okay, yeah, you gotta get rough and really rough out there and just aim that thing up in the sky. But yeah, your arm will get tired. So anyway, so I guess that is probably a good thing. Problem with that tripod is you still got to follow that satellite across the sky. My thoughts are, if you get one with a tripod that also has some tracking mechanism, who knows, that would be great. But anyway, well, very, very cool. Now also there's some linear transponder satellites. And Mike, they're down here more into the article. Do you have the names of a couple of those?
Steve is recommending that if you're going to use the linear transponders for field day, a couple of the strong ones with good signals and fairly new, VUSAT, which I think is India, and made from India, Oscar 52, Fuji Oscar 29, sounds like a Japanese satellite, and then good old AMSAT Oscar 7. And you can use those on CW and sideband. You can't use FM on those birds. And those are kind of cool. They'll run full duplex. So if you have a radio, like an ICOM 9100 or Kenwood TS-2000, you can run full duplex on those, transmitting and on one frequency and receiving just a little bit up or down, which sounds pretty good. And you can still, though, use just your standard multi-band transceivers for those. I guess there's a program here for the little Yaesu 870 to where you can get a satellite interface and work using that. But that is just for sideband and CW. And let's see, I guess we get into more as we go. Back to you, Tom.
And KF62 here, Tech Tuesday and the group, every Tuesday that we can. Well, anyway, yeah, one thing to remember too, if you don't already know this, kind of like the Doppler effect does affect these satellites as they are approaching. Just like a train as it's coming down the track, you're going to hear if it's blowing the horn, it's going to sound different than it is when it's right on top of you. Well, not literally right on top of you, but next to you, and changes pitch as it goes away. This is called the Doppler effect. Well, that does affect the satellites too. As they are approaching, their transmit frequency will be shifted. shift it a little bit higher. And then, of course, as they pass over, it's their natural frequency, and then as they start going away from you, it'll be lower. So you do need to adjust for this as you go through. They're very easy to do if you get used to it with an HT. If you don't, you'll probably just lose a little bit of signal. If you've got a great antenna, that little bit of loss probably won't matter. I heard Ron out there the other day, and he was talking about that. As long as you have a lot of, you know, power coming in and going out, you can probably ignore that Doppler effect. But with 5 watts, very, very important. Well, anyway, pretty cool, pretty cool. Mike, let's get into these birds. And basically, are there anything like the fixed geostationary ones we have out there for satellite, like Dish TV and DirecTV? What's up with those? And are these like out different or further, or what's up with that?
Would be kind of cool if they were, but no, they're not. Your Dish TV, your DirecTV, you know, the satellite TVs. Some people use them for their internet. Are geostationary, so they're fixed. Your antenna points at one spot on the horizon, and that's it. That's where it will always point. But ham satellites are, the random is not the word I'm looking for because it's very predictable. But they do show up, and every orbit is different. Every orbit will have either a different azimuths, different elevations, and it changes on every pass. So, but that's easy to predict. There's lots of programs, and they're giving them here. So anybody that has the June QST in front of them has that. So you can go online and get programs to predict exactly where the satellites are. And you can even get software to move your antennas to exactly where the satellites are. So if you've got lots and lots of money and have just won the lotto, and then you can have a satellite station that you can just about run automatically. Otherwise, you've got to turn it yourself and line it up. Yes, they are not the same as the Dish Network and DirecTV. Back to you, Tom.
Well, anyway, good deal. And if anybody out there has any questions about how satellites work, just a real general sense is that every satellite out there is essentially falling. And, of course, as they're moving around the Earth, they fall the same distance as the curvature of the Earth. So if they're down closer, they have to go a lot faster because the takes a lot more distance to get that you know, match that curvature. And the further out they go, you know, of course, they start to slow down a little bit until they lock in with that orbit of the Earth, and it all comes together. But we're not going to talk about orbital mechanics tonight, even though it's interesting. So, well, good deal. One thing to have, of course, you can have some computers with you at field day. Good to know exactly when the satellite's going to come up. And there's only going to be certain times a day that you're going to see it, usually twice a day, just by the way of the nature of the orbital path of the satellite. And a couple of different things are the AOS azimuth, which is basically acquisition of signal, and LOS azimuth, which is a loss of signal. And you'll get these two going, and you'll probably come up with some number of how high it'll actually be up there. Hopefully it's going to be a high pass, but you know what? The big thing is, since there's less satellites out there, it's going to be everybody trying to hit this one satellite, so bring power. Anyway, Mike, anything to add with that as far as, like, possibly we see the space station going over the same way? Sometimes it's a nice high pass, sometimes not. Back to you, Mike.
All you've got to do is go to your program and find that out, and I think AmSat has a good one on their site. Let's see. Oh, I see, as we're going down here a little further, like you said, it's a 100-point bonus, and I believe that is one bonus only, Tom, or is that per QSO? Enlighten me on that one.
Yeah, unless they have changed that, actually, you're only allowed one contact. And you get 100 points for that, which is pretty cool. 100 points, that's a 100 multiplier. community, but that is just for one contact, and that's it. So anything else beyond that is actually, you should really, once you have that contact, is don't clutter up the time up there, as other people are also trying to get a contact. So anyway, pretty neat though, fast 100 points if you can do it, and pretty neat. So anyway, there's a lot of other different things of the satellites, and we have a little thing called polarization. And Mike, it's not real complicated, and I think you know, we have the satellite is polarized with a signal. You may be able to twist that little arrow antenna one way or the other. It might make a difference. It has with me. Problem with Oscar 50. It's tumbling, okay, so it's moving, I don't know if they say that in the article here, but it's constantly kind of rolling, so best thing to do is just try to monitor as best as you can. Anyway, they have a little more here on the Doppler shift and compensating. Mike, you want to just add in a couple things there?
Well, a couple things that I found interesting is on the FM birds, just like here on the repeater, you never call CQ. You come up with your call, WB6CL, at monitoring or on frequency or whatever, and then if there's somebody there, you make the contact just like we would here on a repeater. But on the other birds, you know, you can call CQ just like you would on HF. And yeah, compensating for the Doppler shift, like you already mentioned, the siren, and but you step that as you go. That's pretty much it. Other than I noticed that on the transponders, your sideband will flip. If you're transmitting on upper sideband, it comes out lower sideband on the downlink. But I guess that there a couple of these, or at least, are adjusted. To where it comes out, they flip the sideband back for you, so that's not going to be a bone of contention as receiving. And everything else here just looks like basic. You've never tried amateur satellites before, but give them a try, and you'll probably have a lot of fun. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, you know, and one thing is, if you're going to try this, number one, practice before field day, because it's got a little couple of quirks. And the learning curve is real shallow, but once you get, you know, when you get the hang of this thing, it's really pretty easy. To compensate for Doppler, I mean, I have like about three or four different frequencies for one satellite programmed in there. So as I know that it's starting to come towards me, starting to go overhead, I will actually start just shifting to a different set of numbers, actually just like changing it into a different memory location on that's already set. In my radio, you know, in my little HT, by changing this, I don't have to worry about how much does it shift. And then as I know as it's going away, I just flip the dial a little bit more, and it's all pretty cool. Would be neat to have this all computerized, which you can do, but makes it a little challenging there, holding the aero antenna and the HT and then trying to think and talk at the same time. Much more difficult than chewing gum and walking. Anyway, pretty cool, pretty neat deal for field day, and it's a whole lot of fun there. Anybody with any questions out there on satellite, you know, working with satellites, please come back to KF6Q. All right, well, Mike, I think we've pretty much got that covered. Other than it's a lot of fun, and actually, with less satellites up there, I could probably get back into that. I wouldn't occupy my whole day anymore, as it did at one time. Not good. But anyway, anything else to add, Mike? Pretty good article. Appreciate you suggesting that. And as we get ready to close here.
But years ago, I was either Oscar 1, 2, or 3, one of the first Oscars that went up. The uplink was 2 meter, and the downlink was 10 meters. And I did get on and make a few contacts on that one, and that was kind of cool because it was brand-new technology, and, man, the thrill was exciting. That's what ham radio is all about. Hey, back to you, Tom.
Yeah, and like I say, it's a lot of fun, a little bit different. We talked about this a couple times here on field day. There's a lot of stuff. K6LCS has a lot of cool stuff on his site, how to set it all up, and a lot of stuff he's done with that. So good information there if you're looking for more stuff. So anyway, last call for any questions or comments. All right, I would like to thank everybody who joined us this evening. It's kind of neat, and always good to find some of these great articles in QST. And the good part is that being a member of the ARRL, you will get this magazine every month, or online, either way, if you choose. And it's definitely worth the $39 a year. So, all right, well, QST, QST, QST. Ah, that's the name of the magazine. How about that? This is Tom Fry, KF6Q Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. Be closing the net this evening at 1900 hours, 31 minutes, and returning the repeater back to normal use. This is KF6Q.